Day four of a five-day strike at Memorial Hospital. Healthcare workers would like to have a new contract, and a contract that does not include some things that the hospital would like it to. And we welcome into the show Taylor Davison. By the way, CW Nevis will be up next. Taylor Davison is here from Patient Access Emergency Room Register, along with Steve Batson, an anesthesia tech at Memorial. Thanks to both of you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us this morning.
What has the picketing been able to accomplish in the 3 days of doing it?
I think that, you know, it's getting our message out there of what's going on. You know, we were going to strike back in February, and then we had an overwhelming vote of us, the union. We voted to go on strike. And then during our preparations to start getting ready to strike, COVID hit, and so we backed off, and we decided to, you know, be there for our patients, kind of like how we were there in 2017 and 2019 for the wildfires. You know, we had a lot of our caregivers were evacuated, some of them even lost their houses,
yep.
And we all still managed to go in and be there, and being the only hospital open. So, you know, we took a step back. And then, you know, during the COVID, we started like having some major issues. You know, fortunately for Sonoma County, the surge never really hit, and it still hasn't really hit. The hospital has never been inundated with COVID-19 patients. Fortunately, you
know, yes.
There are rising cases in Sonoma County. However, the hospitals have not been at capacity. So, you know, we started having PPE issues. I wrote several emails to Tyler Hayden and Vicki White about these issues of PPE.
Tyler Hayden, the CEO of Memorial Hospital,
yeah.
By the way. Go ahead.
Yeah. And I will gladly provide those emails to anyone that wants to see them, because we're now being accused that the PPE was never an issue, but it's always been an issue. You know, it has gotten better in the OR, I will say that. But for our environmental services or housekeeping, they are still denied access to the appropriate PPE when they're cleaning those COVID room rooms after they leave. The outpatient lab technicians who are doing the COVID testing, swabbing,
yeah.
They're denied appropriate PPE. They're not getting N95 masks. Sometimes they get a face shield, and when they do, they get it for, you know, a week. It's a stark contrast when you see the pop-up testing that the county does. Those testers, they're in full protective, you know, PPE. I mean, the
gowns, we've seen it, yeah.
Face shield. Yeah, you know, you drive up, the window goes down. Not for our healthcare, not for our workers.
And so obviously that's an important issue that certainly the public can relate to. You know, there's part of the public that says, well, why now? We are still in the middle of a pandemic. We can't afford to have healthcare workers out carrying picket signs. We need them inside doing their work. There's this sort of psychological thing that is happening for some people.
Yes, absolutely. This is Taylor. And, you know, don't think that we came across this decision easy. This was not an easy decision for us. We are people that have dedicated our lives to caring for the community. We don't want to be out on this picket line. We'd rather be inside taking care of the patients, doing what we do best, and working with our teammates and our coworkers that are inside caring for the patients. But it's gotten to the point where it has become such an untenable situation for us where we're not even sure we're going to be able to have our health benefits that are affordable on the off chance that we get sick.
Yeah.
I mean, we are part of the community. This hospital says, you know, we're here and we're taking care of this community, and we are spending millions of dollars taking care of the community, but they continue to forget that we're part of the community in which they're supposed to be taken care of.
I'm glad you started talking about the health care benefits, because I want to throw some figures to you. We did talk with Tyler Hedden earlier this week on Monday, the CEO of Memorial Hospital, about the issues here. And he says with regard to wages, that the union is looking for a 7% raise, and that the county, the hospital, that is offering a 3% raise at this point, which he says is competitive. But let me get to the healthcare benefits, because
Go ahead. I really need to address that wages. That is just false. So now the hospital's current proposal is 2%. They sent an email out before we struck, a memo stating that if we went on strike, their current wage offer would be reduced from 3% down to 2%, and they couldn't guarantee anything else would be on the table. And I would be happy to provide that to anyone that wants it. Secondly, yes, we did initially back then do request 7% across the board, plus retro 7%, but that was due to market research and being to be competitive with other hospitals in this area that are level 2 trauma centers. But we have since come down to 4% a year wage increases. So we went all the way from 7 down to 4%, and then for the retro pay from 7% to 2.5%. So we've made substantial movement. The hospital initially started at 1.5%, and now they are currently at 2%. And I just got to say, Providence, I want people to read these New York Times articles that came out about Providence. And this is the opening quote, and this is about Providence, of this New York Times article. A multi-billion dollar institution in the Seattle area invests in hedge funds, runs a pair of venture capital funds, and works with elite private equity firms like the Carlyle Group. This is Providence they're talking about. They make billions of dollars off of us. The money that they make from patient care, they go in, it's untaxed, they invest it, they make billions of dollars, and then they pay it to themselves, to the CEOs.
Okay, Steve, let me stop you there, only because I want to get in some of these facts and figures as relayed to us, and I want to give you an opportunity to answer them. We got about 3 minutes left. So here's what Mr. Hayden says about your health care plans. He agrees that the PPO plan, the costs are increasing. Here's what he had to say about HMOs with regard to health care workers at Memorial. He said that an individual can get coverage for their health care plan for $16 a month, or a family for $50 a month. If that's true, that sounds pretty good to us.
You know what? Here's the thing. That is the HMO plan. And the HMO plan is great if you're not sick. If you don't have any underlying health concerns and you don't need a specialist. Quite a few of our doctors that work here in the hospital don't even accept the HMO plan that's being offered to us. And the PPO plan, which a lot of people are on, and will become unaffordable. I mean, it's going to go up. They want it to go up 25% for the life of the contract, which would be an increase of about 140% over this life of this contract. So it would be, and the EPO would go up 12% per year.
So how much would it cost you for a PPO plan a year under these increases?
For myself and my son, it would easily triple my health care costs.
Wow.
And we have no underlying issues other than asthma between the two of us.
Is there a plan to get the union and the hospital back to the bargaining table at this point?
We're hoping that next week after the strike, and, you know, we've gotten a lot of great publicity about this, and we're hoping that we can all come back to the table and continue discussing it.
We've been willing to go to the table this whole time. The hospital canceled all and wouldn't schedule any bargaining. We would gladly walk off the bargaining team would gladly walk off the picket line right now at any moment and go bargain in good faith with the hospital if they would bargain in good faith. But when they send out threatening emails prior to us striking, reducing their offers, taking takebacks, that shows you where they're at. I mean, it's and this isn't about money. They're painting about money. This isn't about, you know, money for us. It's money for them. But for us, it's affordable health care, access to, you know,
protective equipment.
Protective equipment. There's a lot of things that this is about. And it's
well,
not,
we're all invested as a community. We are all invested in the continued good health of our health care workers, obviously.
Yes. And, you know, we take a lot of offense. That, there was an editorial ad in the Press Democrat the other day.
Yeah, I saw that.
And they made that comment of, like, firefighters walking off the line. Basically, they're comparing us to firefighters, but what they're not recognizing is when we had the fires in 2017 and 2019, the firefighters didn't have garden hoses.
Well, clearly, there is no question that healthcare workers are first responders. If there ever was a question about that, there certainly is no longer. Taylor Davison, Steve Batson, I wish we had more time for you, but we're running up against the clock here. Thank you for being here. I look forward to speaking to you again, hopefully closer to resolution here.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us on. We really appreciate you taking the time and hearing our side.
Yes, very good luck to you. And so one more day, well, today and tomorrow, the pickets are expected to stay in front of Santa Rosa Memorial Hospital. And hopefully the bargaining segments will take place right after that. Yeah, first responders, you bet your ass they are.